The following is a message of First Baptist Richardson. For more information, please visit fbcr.org.
Well, let's do better than that. Wasn't that fabulous, you guys? Thank y'all so much. What a choir orchestra. Thank you for what you give every week to serve us in worship, and I appreciate that so much. And of course, as I thought about what's the first thing I'd say to you this morning for the last few weeks, because I'd been scheduled to preach for some time, and then was quite taken back when your pastor called me last week and said, "Hey, I've got a little video I want you to see. I just resigned," and he said, "It's all because of you." No, he, of course, Ellis and I talked about this day coming in the last 3 or 4 years that we've known each other, and so I would tell you, I met that experience with two emotions. One, the sadness of a church losing its pastor. There's always a lot of uncertainty that people feel, and what's going to happen. But the other side of that is just watching the video. Maybe be impressed with you as a people that how you've embraced this process. I did something pretty similar at Fielder Church in Arlington, and ours was a little bit different, but the process meant that everyone could embrace that God had done something pretty special, and I still get to go to church there, which is most preachers have to leave, okay, and I don't understand why that is. I think it's the preacher fault, okay, because we get in the way of what God wants to do, but it's such a joy to see a church with such maturity and such great leadership that you're able to put your arms around something maybe a little different than you have experienced in the past, but to believe God's got a plan for you and got a plan for Ellis, got a plan for this church, and the preacher doesn't have to leave town, okay? He can still be a part of a congregation, people that he loves and appreciates, and that you can embrace that. And we're going to be praying for the next person to come lead, and that they'll be able to embrace what God wants for you right here. But I would admit, when it was all over with, I said, "Lord, thank you for First Baptist Church Richardson and for what you've done with this." So I thank you so much for letting me be a part of what God's doing right here in these days. Sandy and I always look forward to coming to this place to worship with you and preach. Today we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke. Open your Bibles to Luke, if you would, chapter number 17. I want to announce to you something that you already know is 2 weeks from today, we're going to celebrate something pretty special. You know what I mean? The 27th of November is Sandy's birthday, all right? And so she gets Thanksgiving every once in a while for her birthday weekend. But on that Thursday before her birthday, we will celebrate Thanksgiving. And what I want to do today is talk about getting us ready for Thanksgiving. You say, "Well, Gary, I'm already getting ready." We've picked out the menu of what we're going to eat. We've passed around things to the family of who's going to bring what. And we have scheduled the meal around the Cowboy football game to make sure that we don't mess around with that. And we've checked how many is going to come. We actually have 22 coming to our house because we're doing a wedding shower, family wedding shower for the weekend. My number two granddaughter is getting married in January. And so we immediately start going that direction. And what we do, while that is very special, and us men are very grateful for the menu, okay, and the Cowboy game, but in reality, when Thanksgiving was established in America, it was not only about the bounty of the food, it was a time of Thanksgiving. From the very beginning, when those pilgrims got off that ship in 1620, they had been 66 days in an arduous journey that was very perilous, and they were so grateful for what God did in that first harvest, and they began, they wanted to stop and thank God for what had happened to them. And so they said, "We're going to do this perpetually," so every fall around harvest, they would have a Thanksgiving experience. And it wasn't until 1789 that George Washington made this declaration: "We're going to have a day to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God." From the very beginning, Thanksgiving was a time to stop and be thankful to God for what he had done. It wasn't until 1942 that they made it a definite day, the fourth Thursday of that last month, and FDR did that. But from the beginning, everyone who had been involved in it wanted the focus not to be on the food family and all those other things, but to be a time that we would stop and acknowledge God and what he would do. And so we celebrate it nationally. But the reality is I would guess that there will probably not be that many celebrations in which God is the center point. Most often it's about the family, it's about the food, it's about the gathering, it's about the travel. And we look at that and we say, goodness gracious, have we neglected and forgotten what Thanksgiving is about? Have we forgotten that in reality God's done so much? And are we so involved in all the stuff that we're doing in our lives that we forget that it is a day to stop and thank God for his many, many signal favors that he has brought to us? Well, before we would just kind of beat ourselves up, there's an experience in Scripture where some people did exactly that. And we're going to examine that today. It was a time, if you would, in chapter 17, verse number 11 is where we will look. It says, Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem, and he was passing along Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And they went, and they were then cleansed. Then each one of them, when he saw that he had been, then one of them, when he saw he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He fell on his face before Jesus' feet and giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan because that area was of Samaria. And Jesus answered and asked this question. And I really believe it's a question he could ask us today. We're not 10 cleansed. In other words, we're not all of us this year blessed. Where's the 9? Was there no one found to return? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, as you look at this, there's some things that just jump off the page at you as you look at this. First of all, they were passing through Samaria. As you know, Samaria was a place half Jewish, the people who had intermarried. And so the people were not pure Jews. They were half Samaritan and they were half Jewish. And they were called Samaritans because they were half Jewish and half of another race. And so as you began to look at this, this is a time Jesus is doing his miracles. And he specifically, I believe, went through Samaria and stopped at that place and healed these folks, let everyone know that his healing power was for everyone. And he was passing through and he encountered lepers. Now, you may know a lot about leprosy. Let me just remind you, it was a very horrible disease. It would start with scabs on your body. Literally your fingers would rot away if you had leprosy. It would be shown all over your face and sores would bubble up. And it was a very gruesome, ugly disease. And then another thing about it is it affected their voice. If someone who has leprosy doesn't speak, and they croak. So when these men were hollering to Jesus, you could tell just by their voice that they were men of leprosy. But the major problem with leprosy, listen to this, is it was something that was always fatal. There was absolutely no cure for it. If you got leprosy, your life was hopeless. You were doomed to die. There was no way out. There was nothing that could be done. There was no cure that anyone knew. And so the lepers, as you know, would be cast out of the city, and they would live out separate from the city because no one wanted to be infected. And they would just go there literally to die. And then along comes Jesus. Could it have been they had heard about this man, the healer? Could it have been they had been told about someone who did something miraculous? And in their croaking voices, in the pain and agony of their lives, they began to cry out and they began to ask for help. They began to say, Lord, would you take this disease away from me? And in a miraculous way, Jesus is only he could do, healed all 10 of those and said, I want you to go tell the priest that you've been healed. And so as they went to tell the priest, 9 of them went about their life, living the life of blessing from being healed. And one of those returned. One of those returned and remembered the blessing of God. And as I look at this, there's just 2 or 3 quick things that jump off the page. It reminds me that you and I are pretty good at asking. We're pretty good at asking. And if you would examine most of our prayer lives, it's dominated by asking. But very seldom are we people that learn how to say thanks. And the Bible tells us to ask. Jesus calls us to ask. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking. The problem comes is when it ends with the blessing that God brings to our lives. And as you look at this, you begin to see that Jesus condemns a lot of things. But in this particular text, he reminds us that our lack of thanksgiving, he condemns it. In other words, Jesus, as you look at this, sees the needs within our life. He hears the prayers, and we love to talk about that. But the Bible says when Jesus brings blessing to our lives and we do not respond to him in thanksgiving and we do not respond to him in the way he would want us to, he literally condemns it in us. He speaks to us and speaks a sense of dissatisfaction to our lives because we're unable to do that. And what we got to realize is as you look through this process, is God is about something whenever we have a problem. And the problem, the situation is he wants to take our problem to a place that God is glorified. Now, how does he do that? He very often does that through the process of something coming to our lives or some need coming to our lives, and we ask God to do something about it. And the reason why we ask God is we are at a hopeless place where we need God to act and God to do something. And God follows through to do that. And every one of us in this room could stand right now and recount places in our life, even recently, that God came through and we knew it was God. But listen, God coming through is not God's end game. Blessing us is not God's end game. God's end game is that he would be glorified. And so whenever we take God's blessings and we neglect to bring thanks to God and say to others thanks to God, what we have done is we have shortchanged God's whole process. And God begins to look at us and see us as people that do not respond in thanksgiving, that we do not respond in gratitude, that we are people who use what we have, use what God's given to us for our blessing, but we're unable to see that what comes to our lives in that way is not to just take care of us. It's that ultimately it would glorify God. And so when you and I have a problem that we bring to God, oftentimes our focus is on getting the situation solved, seeing the situation transformed, seeing the need met. But I want you to know that's not God's end game for you. God wants to do every bit of that so that he can take us to the place where our lives bring glory to him. Glory to him by the transformation that's happened, but also glory to him because of the fact that we are now thanking him. That's why he said, go see the priest. I want the priest to know. I want the priest to understand, the religious leaders, that God is at work. And that was supposed to bring glory to God. But there was also the point that they were supposed to bring glory to God that our voice would be a voice of thanksgiving to other people about what God's done. And so in your life, God beckons you and me to ask him for things. God calls us. He says, ask and seek and knock. Bring your needs to me. Anything you ask in my name, I will do it. That word ask is all over the Bible. But you know something? The word thanksgiving is just as prevalent as the word ask. In fact, over 100 times, in the Old and New Testament, God calls us to give him thanks, calls us to let him know we appreciate what he's done, and calls us to let others know that God has done something within our lives and brought that to our situation in such a way that God then gets the glory out of what has been done in our lives. So I want you to know that as I look at this text, and examine that. There's some things I want to just hone in for just a few minutes about Thanksgiving. And we're going to move through three, four, five things, because what I want us to do is I want us to get really ready for maybe a Thanksgiving better than we've ever had before in our lives. A Thanksgiving that is truly based upon not what we eat, not what we see, not the family that we enjoy, but it, as good as that is, there's something beyond that. That our Thanksgiving is something that literally is focused upon God and what He's done for us. The first thing is we got to recognize that Thanksgiving is a command. It's not an option. The Bible says to us in the book of Thessalonians, listen to this, chapter number 5 of Thessalonians. He's going through a series of commands. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, some people attach that idea of giving thanks to the circumstances. But certainly, we should give thanks in all circumstances, and that God is involved in that situation. But the command is the giving thanks. It is God's will in all circumstances, not only to rejoice, not only to pray without ceasing and ask, but in all things to give thanks. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the prophecies, but test everything that you hold false and good, and abstain from every form of evil. All of these commands are very clear from Scripture, that we are to be people that live a life, that we literally have a habit of giving thanksgiving. Could I ask you, how much is thankfulness part of your spiritual habit? In other words, the moment something good happens to your life, the moment God answers a prayer for your life, is what is your first response? Oh, boy, that's good. Oh, I'm so glad that I happened. Or is it part of our habit to give thanks? It's like a little child. How many times have we said to a child when somebody does something for them, they say, what are you going to say? What are you going to say? What are we trying to do with our children? We're trying to teach them thanksgiving. But do you know the greatest place that the people around us learn to be thankful? In watching us be thankful. Because we recognize it's a command of God. And what God wants to build within our lives is a habitual life of being thankful. And that everyone around us knows that everything we've achieved, everything we've ever done, everything we ever have received, every bit of it comes from the hand of God, because God commands us to do that. But secondly, praise and thanksgiving acknowledges the character of God that is evidenced by His work within our lives. In other words, as it says in the Chronicles, it says, praise be to God because God is good. And what our praise and thanksgiving is supposed to be is a reflection of the character of God, and a reflection of the fact that the character of God has been evident within our lives, and that His goodness is evident in our life at all times. You say, well, wait a minute, Gary. I have some things in my life that are not going very good. Well, every one of us have that. But that does not diminish the goodness of God. The goodness of God is evident all the way around us. Now, we can choose to take those places where things are not going right. And what we can do is we can doubt the character and goodness of God because that bad thing is going on. And I remember one time at a dark moment in my life when we lost a son who was at 13 years of age. And I'll never forget a guy saying to me, do not judge God by one event. If you judge God by one event, you'll get a jaundiced view of God and not a clear view of God. But even when we have bad things going on within our lives, there's all kinds of evidence of His goodness around us. And what we should be as people who are constantly reflecting the character of God as good, that even when things are not so good outwardly in some people's eyes, then we can still stop and praise God because of who God is, and thank God because of all of the things He's done for our lives. And so what God wants us to do is learn how to focus on His goodness no matter what the circumstances are within our lives. But then another thing is that we need to recognize, and this is, Andy is down getting ready to get a commercial for church right here, is praise and thanksgiving is the portal to all worship and prayer. Andy, just this morning, I've followed you through the worship you led us through. You talked about all the good things in Jesus. Great is thy faithfulness. You went through the many attributes of God and who he was. And here we are in this place that we need to recognize it. Certainly, folks focus upon the sermon that is about to be preached. But the portal to all of this is praise and thanksgiving and worship. And the reason why we do the worship that we do is not just to kind of get our hearts ready to be able to hear a sermon. We do it because all of those things we are singing identify the character of God and express our thanksgiving to God. And so when we come into this place, we're not just kind of getting comfortable, getting ready whenever the sermon's going to go and hope the music is pretty good. No. What we do is we come into this place and we look at this brother who leads us every week and say, lead me into the presence of God by praise and thanksgiving so I can express publicly my praise and thanksgiving to God. I'm not going to stay at home and mow the yard or go out and play golf or go on vacation. I'm going to come to church because I recognize that thanksgiving needs to be a part of the habit of my life and part of the experience of my life. Andy, I'm afraid that what we're doing in church life many times is we're asking the wrong question when we leave church. Most of the time, when we walk out of church, the first question is, what did I get out of that? And we start thinking about who sang and who preached, what did he do, and what did we what get? Could I tell you we ought to change that question? Instead of what did we get out of church today, what did God get out of church today? What did God experience this morning? Whenever we were singing those incredible songs that speak of the greatness and the glory of God, was God pleased with how we responded to those wonderful words? Or were we just people kind of sitting there watching that go on, punching our card that we came to church, getting ready, hopefully, to hear a sermon that will interest us for a little bit? How would God feel about that? That we would come into this place and be so neutral in the midst of worship and of praise. That is why I enjoy going to churches, to be honest with you, Andy, where there's some activity going on that's expressing our praise. I like to clap my hands. I like to raise my hands. I like to open my hands. I like to put my hands on my heart and saying, God, do something. Why? Because I'm worshiping God. And I recognize the portal into God's presence is not a sermon. It's my willingness to worship him and honor him and focus upon him. And what we want to be able to say is, God, when I've come here today, I come here because I need something. And what I need is not only a sermon. We want to keep us preachers employed, okay? I need a sermon, okay? But what I need as much as that is an experience of corporate praise and thanksgiving because it is the portal into the presence of God. That's why in the Bible it says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving and praise. That's the 100th Psalm. When we go to Israel with groups every year, one of the things we do is go around to the southern steps of the old Temple Mount where the temple used to be. And there's southern steps that go up to that. And that's the way that everyone came into the temple. Even Jesus, when he came from Nazareth with his family, would come around to those southern steps and get on those southern steps. And if you look in the Bible, there's some psalms beginning with Psalm 121 called Ascent Psalms. And what they would do, Andy, is on their way to church. They weren't listening to the news. They were singing. They were bringing glory to God. I lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is the protector of all. Oh, Lord, as you protect Jerusalem, you protect me. They would come into his presence with singing and with great glory and honor to God. And so what we've got to recognize that from the very beginning, God has established praise and worship as the way that we enter into the presence of God. And I want you to know that if you can't do that, you need to learn how to do that. need to learn how to enter into his presence, because you're missing the blessing of an incredible experience together with God's people and all of our voices be raised in praise and worship to him. But then another thing I'd say about Thanksgiving, and that is the fact that Thanksgiving is more than talk. Thanksgiving is more than talk. We can certainly say thanks to God. But I look into this text and I see some words right here that are all action words. It says, the one turned back. In other words, this one physically decided he was going back to Jesus, that he wasn't just going to say thank you, God. He was going back. That there's something physical that's began to happen. It said he cried out with a loud voice. Why would he have cried out with a loud voice? He wanted others to know. Listen, this Jesus has healed me. And I don't want it just to be that I'm healed. I want to bring glory to God. And I'm not just going to whisper what has been done to me. I'm going to shout with the loudest voice that I can. In fact, it ought to be on Sunday morning. We're having to say, well, y'all are being too loud. Quit this shouting stuff. You know, just whisper things to God. No, we ought to come into this place. And we ought to want, and now usually when people hear me sing, they don't want to hear me sing, okay? But they ought to hear that I want to praise God. They ought to know that I want to praise God. And we ought to have a voice of praise to God that others hear. Do others around us hear our voice? Speak loudly about the goodness of God and the blessing of God upon our life. That's what Thanksgiving does. It said also, what did he do? He fell on his face. No longer, I look at this humility and brokenness to this man's Thanksgiving. This falling on his face was an acknowledgement that I didn't bring any of this to myself. You, Jesus, and you alone brought this to my life. And you look at the action going on right here. And you see him falling upon his face. And he began to bring glory to God. And he began to bring honor to God. And listen, he was no longer doing it with a croaky voice. In fact, probably from that day on, every time he spoke and he heard himself speak without a voice that croaked because of the leprosy, he stopped to say, man, that's God. That's God. That's God. You see, what we need to realize, there not only needs to be the one-time thanking of God for something, there ought to be a continual thanking of God for something. Every time it comes to our mind, we ought to thank him. Every time it is presented in front of us, we ought to say, God, thank you. In other words, what ought to be a part of our lives is such an acknowledgement that what we have comes from God anytime it is mentioned by somebody. Hey, I saw that this happened to your life. We ought to immediately bring that person's mind to God. Oh, no, we don't say, oh, yeah, I did that. Or, yeah, I earned that. Or, I made that. Or, I built that. Or, I made this living. No, we ought to always be people who stop. And stop everyone who tries to lift us up and say, well, wait a minute here. This wasn't me. This was the hand of Almighty God within my life. And Almighty God has brought this to my life. And you look at this man that he got on his face before Jesus and he kept giving thanks. I imagine Jesus probably had to push him away and say, okay, enough, enough. You know, I'd like that from God sometime. I'd like for him to say, you know, Gary, you've said thanks enough. Wouldn't it be today that God would be so pleased with us, he would say, okay, okay, you've done enough. But I'm afraid that's not the way it is. I'm afraid there's more of the nine going around than there is the one. And so you say, well, okay, Gary, what can I do this Thanksgiving? Let's forget about what's happened in the past. And who's to know how many more Thanksgivings we have? How about this Thanksgiving? What are some things that you could do that would make sure God received thanks and he was glorified by what happened? Well, let me give you some suggestions. First of all, why don't you just start this Thanksgiving with being reminded of your salvation experience. If nothing else, that morning that you wake up, how about starting that moment to say, you know, Lord, thank you that 2,000 years ago you sent your son Jesus to die on a cross. There on that cross, he took my sin. He took my rebellion. He brought to me new life. And today, the fact that I can get out of this bed with a peace within my soul is because of what Jesus did for me. Now, by the way, do you know when we are supposed to be doing that specifically in church? It's the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is, in some religious groups, is called the Eucharist, which is a meal of thanks. The Lord's Supper is one of the things we did at Fielder. Is this is going to surprise you because you may not have heard of this in Baptist churches, but we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Do you know why we do that, Andy? It's what greater thing can we do in worship every week than thank God for our salvation? And we move it around the service, and some would say, does that make it rote and not meaningful? Well, you can make it rote and not meaningful if you want to. But all you got to do is mention the body and the blood of Jesus, and I start saying thanks. I start giving honor to his name and glorifying his name. And the Lord's Supper is supposed to be a solemn moment that we stop and honor him and give thanks to him. Well, how about this Thanksgiving? How about starting the day being reminded of all the good things he's done for you in saving you? Secondly, how about thanking the people who have blessed you? Every one of us in this room have people who have touched our lives. I can start making a list right now. Bill Meadows and Wayne Marley and Rick Weintraub and Kyle Oliver. I could just start naming you people that have blessed my life. I want you to know, I use every opportunity I can to thank them. But one's very, very special in my life. My oldest brother was someone who came to know Jesus in college. And his salvation, he came to know Jesus in high school. And he was a guy that as a high school student and as a college student really began to grow in the Lord. I was a young guy growing up in a family where my mom and dad didn't go to church. My brother became the first image to me of someone who knew Jesus. I watched my brother stand the course and stay the course. I watched him even when people in our family would make fun of him, that it never caused him to waver or doubt his salvation, never caused him to be arrogant, but just someone who did it and lived it before me. The other day, I just decided to call him. I called and said, hey, Tommy, this is your little brother, and I just wanted to call you today. And I want to tell you, I wouldn't have known Jesus without you. I wouldn't have the life I have today without you. And I want you to know, I don't know how many more years you and I have on this earth, but I want you to live the rest of them knowing you have a little brother, 9 years younger than you, that is deeply grateful for what you've done. Now, the people who have blessed you, have you told them thanks? Some of them are going to be at your Thanksgiving celebration. Would you choose to take a moment with a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a brother or a sister or a friend that you pull them off to the side and say, you know, today's a great celebration of Thanksgiving, but I'm really thankful for you, for the impact you have made upon my life and what a blessing you have been to help me know what I know in the Lord. So you want to make Thanksgiving great? At least pick out one or two of the people you're with and express your thanksgiving. Number three, now this is the one that always makes people a little nervous. Show it with your material blessings. Show you're thankful through your material possessions. I looked at that offering that you gave. Praise God for a generous church. But that shouldn't be an aberration or an accident. That should be the regular habit of people who have been blessed materially. So that every one of us would know it. When we got whatever check we get during the week, when it goes into our bank account, the first thing we do is move that decimal one place, and it's called 10%, and bring our tithe before the Lord. Why do we do that? We don't do it to pay for the lights and the buildings. That's a byproduct of it. We do it because we are thankful for what God has done for us. And thankful people are generous people. Because thankful people recognize it comes from the hand of God, and we don't want to touch that 10% because it belongs to God. Now, what's great is what should be growing in our life is that percentage should get bigger and bigger for what we give away. But you see, it's one thing to sit around and talk about being thankful. Would our bank account show that we are thankful people? Because truly thankful people, it shows up. It shows up in their life, in their lifestyle, and in their bank account on a regular basis. Last thing, and I'll conclude. How about making sure that you build some time of thanksgiving into your Thanksgiving celebration? Let me give you a suggestion, okay? It's a little something our family has done. My wife suggested it to me some years ago. When we gather our family together and we have our meal, I always stop and I say, hey, let's just go around the table and everyone tell something they are thankful for. And everybody kind of looks, oh, we're going to do that today. Well, it's Thanksgiving, okay? And so we go around the table and each person. Sometimes it has some tears. Sometimes it's a daughter saying to her mother, hey, you've become my best friend, and I'm so thankful for you. Sometimes it's a parent or a grandparent looking at one of the children and saying, I prayed for this to happen in your life this year, and this has happened. I'm so thankful for what God did in your life. And so we have a time of thanksgiving. And then what we also do is I say, okay, in the next 12 months, granddad's going to be praying for you. And I want to know specifically what I can be praying. And I go around the room, and everyone tells me something they're praying for. And I don't just listen. I have a piece of paper. And I write down everything that they say. And I want you to know, it's in my prayer journal. And I want you to know that when we get to our Thanksgiving time, I'm going to pull out that sheet of paper, and I'm going to look over one of them and say, you asked for this last year. Guess what's happened? God's done it. What are we doing in that moment? Certainly we are asking, but what we're doing is putting thanksgiving to God in the center of our celebration. And I pray this Thanksgiving all over Richardson, Texas, there will be nests of people who recognize thanksgiving first is about what God has done for us, and then all the other stuff fits in the middle and as a celebration of all that God's done for us. Bow your head with me, please, for just a moment, would you? Could I ask you this morning, is there evidence in your life that you are a thankful person? If you were to ask the people who live with you, the people who work with you, if you were to ask them, do you see me as a thankful person? What would they say about you today? Well, you can't do anything about the past, but you can make sure in the future that you're not one of the nine, that you're the one that turned back and thanked God. And that you would do it with more than words. You would do it with actions and thinking and planning and activity. And that this Thanksgiving would truly, truly be a time that you acknowledge the goodness of God. But while you have your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I mentioned salvation. You could have come to this place today and you're looking for some hope and some future. We want you to know, as great as this church is, your hope is not in this church or even who stands in this pulpit. Your hope is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you so much that he was willing to die on a cross for you. When he died on that cross for you, it brought forgiveness of sin to you. And if you will acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior, he'll come live in your life, forgive your sins, and give you hope for the future. Now, if you want to talk with someone about that, we're going to have a next step area out here to my left, your right. I'm going to be there at the end of the service. There's nothing in the world I'd rather do than spend time telling you about the Jesus that has changed my life. And let him change your life as well. Father, thank you this day, first for the gospel of Jesus Christ, how it has transformed us. We just bless your name for that. But then, oh God, help us to become not getters, but givers. Not receivers, but people who thank God all the time. That, Lord, we would even bore others and maybe even bore you with all of our thanksgiving. It'd become a habit to our lives, a way of life, a way of thinking, a way of living, a way of walking with you. Help us to do that, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.